Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna Hare, Hare 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 Hare, H 6 years, and now he's a teacher there with Gopi Prandan Prabhu. And Prabhu travels here 4 months there of the year giving discourses on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. We're very fortunate to have Prabhu here today. So, Hari Hari Bol. Yes.
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये. So today we will recite from Srimad Bhagavad Gita 17th chapter, texts number 15th and 16th. The system is, do you recite the verses after?
If you want to go.
Okay.
I think you just recite.
I will read.
Yeah, that's your time.
So did we do the austerity of the body last week? Or we will read all the 3 verses then. 14th verse of the 17th chapter. The chapter is entitled as The Divisions of Faith. Devadvija Guru Pragya Pujanam Shaucham Archavam Brahmacharya Mahinsacha Shariram Tapa Uchyate. Translation: austerity of the body consists in worship of the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the spiritual master, and superiors like the father and mother, and in cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, and non-violence. Purport. The Supreme Godhead here explains the different kinds of austerity and penance. First, he explains the austerities and penances practiced by the body. One should offer or learn to offer respect to God or to the demigods, the perfect qualified brahmanas, and the spiritual master and superiors like father, mother, or any person who is conversant with Vedic knowledge. These should be given proper respect. One should practice cleansing oneself externally and internally, and you should learn to become simple in behavior. You should not do anything which is not sanctioned by the scriptural injunctions. You should not indulge in sex outside of married life, for sex is sanctioned in the scripture only in marriage, not otherwise. This is called celibacy. These are penances and austerities as far as the body is concerned.
Anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat svadhyaya abhyasanam chaiva vangmayam tapa uchyate.
Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Purport. One should not speak in such a way as to agitate the minds of others. Of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students, but such a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students if he will agitate their minds. This is penance as well as far as talking is concerned. Besides that, one should not talk nonsense. The process of speaking in spiritual circles is to say something upheld by the scriptures. One should at once quote from scriptural authority to back up what he is saying. At the same time, such talk should be very pleasurable to the ear. By such discussions, one may derive the highest benefit and elevate human society. There is a limitless stock of Vedic literature, and one should study this. This is called penance of speech. Text 16.
Manah prasadah saumyatvam maunamatma vinigraha bhavasam shuddhirityetat tapomana samachyate.
And satisfaction, simplicity, gravity, self-control, and purification of one's existence are the austerities of the mind. Purport. To make the mind austere is to detach it from sense gratification. It should be so trained that it can always thinking of doing good, that it can be always thinking of doing good for others. The best training for the mind is gravity in thought. One should not deviate from Krishna consciousness and must always avoid sense gratification. To purify one's nature is to become Krishna conscious. Satisfaction of the mind can be obtained only by taking the mind away from thoughts of sense enjoyment. The more we think of sense enjoyment, the more the mind becomes dissatisfied. In the present age, we unnecessarily engage the mind in so many different ways for sense gratification, and so there is no possibility of the mind's becoming satisfied. The best course is to divert the mind to the Vedic literature, which is full of satisfying stories, as in the Puranas and the Mahabharata. One can take advantage of this knowledge and thus become purified. The mind should be devoid of duplicity, and one should think of the welfare of all. Silence means that one is always thinking of self-realization. The person in Krishna consciousness observes perfect silence in this sense. Control of the mind means detaching the mind from sense enjoyment. One should be straightforward in his dealings and thereby purify his existence. All these qualities together constitute austerity in mental activities. And also we will take 17th.
Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastatrividham naraihai apalakamshidhiryuktaihai sattvikam parichakshate.
This threefold austerity performed with transcendental faith by men, not expecting material benefits, but engaged only for the sake of the Supreme, is called austerity in goodness.
Om ajnana timiranhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurunmilitam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa harkata mahyam ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरोर्वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साकजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी व्रजभानु सुसे देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पाञ्चाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्रीयद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे
At the very onset of present day's discourse, I would like to initially offer my most respectfully prostrated obeisances and put the lotus feet of their transcendental lordships, Sri Sri Radha and Govinda Devaji, along with their divine companions and associates such as Sri Lalita Devi, Sri Vishakha Devi, Sri Ruparati Manjari, etc. And along with them, I would also like to submit my most respectfully reverentially prostrated submissive homages unto the lotus feet of their divine lordships, Shri Shri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, along with all their five features of Panchatattva, accompanied by Srila Rupa Goswami, Srila Sanatana Goswami, and all the other six Goswamis of Shri Dham Vrindavan, who are there, who are consisting their divine transcendental entourage. And also I would like to finally offer my obeisances and due honorary respects unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace Abhaya Charana Arvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has been a supramundane adept in the matter of dispersing the transcendental science of Krishna consciousness, who has thus distributed the pure devotional mellows permeated with non-phenomenal transcendental sentiments throughout this world in this present modern era in a most unique and fantastic unprecedented way. Conclusively, I would now also like to offer my obeisances and due respects unto the lotus feet of the initiating spiritual master along with all the preceptoral spiritual masters as well as all the senior Vaishnava devotees of the Lord present herein. And thereafter, now let us commence the deliberation and in-depth profound contemplation on the context and topic especially pertaining to this 17th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, which is rather given title, which is rather given or which is rather allotted the designation of being Gurutraya Vibhaga Yoga, or the divisions of faith according to the three modes of material nature. Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. That is the nomenclature or title allotted by Lord Vyasadev to this 17th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. So, all the various forms of tapasya, austerities, yajna, sacrifices, dham, charities, etc. have been divided threefold based on the threefold modes of material nature. But these yajna, dan, mrat, tapasya, etc., these austerities, penances, sacrifices, charities and vows, etc., also have a fourth dimension on which they are found. And that fourth dimension is actually supramundane dimension, which is completely non-phenomenal in its nature, being completely bereft and devoid of the three abominable modes of material nature in a chronological way, which are the mode of goodness, sattva-gun, mode of passion, rajogun, and mode of ignorance, tamogun. So as Shri Krishna explains in the 14th chapter of this treatise, that sattvat sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobha eva cha pramada moho tamaso bhavato ajnanam eva cha. While Shri Krishna is imparting his divine sermons to his empiric pedant and pupil, Shri Arjun, at that time Shri Krishna reveals the functions of these three modes of material nature, that the mode of goodness, which is rather not unadulterated or found in its purest form, but which is rather found in its contaminated form in this material world. That is why it is also sometimes known as Mishra Sattva, because it is mixed with the other two modes of material nature. And it cannot be compared ever, at any circumstance, in any situation, with the pure goodness, Vishuddha Sattva, also known as Vasudeva. Shuddham Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabditam Yad Pumanapavritam. As the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam corroborates, substantiates, and affirms the same theme, that sometimes the Vishuddha Sattva is also known as Vasudeva. So this Vishuddha Sattva or Vasudeva, which is rather a product of the internal potency of the Lord. The internal potency of the Lord, because Lord possesses threefold potences, as the father of Vyasadev, Parashar Muni, stresses emphatically on the same point while in his conversation with Maitreya Muni in Vishnu Purana. So Parashar Muni there reaffirms by saying that Vishnu Kshaktihi Paraprokta Kshetrajyakhya Tatha Paraha Avidya Karma Sangyanya Tritiya Shaktirishyate. That there are three potencies or energies possessed by that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Absolute Truth, Sri Narayana. And those three potencies or energies which are possessed by him, and thereby he comes to be known as energetic or the potent principle, Shaktiman Tattva. So those three potencies which are possessed by him are known as, first, the Antaranga Shakti or the internal potency, then the marginal potency which is known as Tatastha Shakti, consisting of all the living entities, and later on the third type of most inferior form of energy possessed by the Absolute Truth is known as external potency, also known as the potency of nescience or illusion, avidya, maya shakti, possessing the three modes, also known as trigunatmika prakriti. So the Lord is the master of all the three. Now the internal potency is divided into again three aspects of sat, chit and ananda. Sat being recognized as the eternal perpetual existence, chit being recognized as the all cognition, all knowledge, and ananda being recognized as the transcendental paramount bliss or felicity. So these three aspects which are found within the internal personality of the Lord, they form the threefold transcendental energies possessed by the Lord, namely Sandhini Shakti, Ahladini Shakti and the Samvita Shakti. Therefore again Parashar Muni stresses in the very same Vishnu Purana in his conversation with Maitreya Muni by saying that Haladini Santini Samvitvayeka Sarvasamsthitau Haladatapakari Mishra Tvaino Vanavarjite. That the Supreme Lord possesses these three transcendental potencies, Santini, Samvit and Haladini. Santini being product of the Sat aspect, Samvit being product of the Chit aspect, and Haladini being the product of the Anand aspect. So that is the fourth dimension, that is the pure goodness, that is Vishuddha Sattva, that is Vasudeva. So all these activities like yajna, dan, vrata, tapasya, they are certainly found on the platform of the three modes of material nature, sattva, raj and tam, but they are also found on the fourth dimension, and the fourth dimension is the dimension of pure, transcendental, unmixed and unadulterated, unalloyed form of goodness, Vishuddha Sattva. But here, Lord Shri Krishna mainly emphasizes on the three modes. So, as it has been declared in the 17th verse of the same chapter, which we have just recited, Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastat trividham narayai aphalatam shidhiryoktaihai sattvitam paichakshate, that those who are endowed with divine faith, they perform these threefold forms of penances or austerity on the level of mundane mode of goodness, without desiring anything in return, without seeking any reward in exchange. So, in the 14th verse, Shri Krishna emphasizes on the physical penance. Now, the most interesting part is, Shri Krishna doesn't talk about, because there are four dimensions, not only in relation with the modes, like three modes of material nature, and then there is Vishuddha Sattva. That is also, that's another discussion. But there are four dimensions, even when we speak about the mental faculty, the physical faculty, and the vocal faculty. Kāyena vācā manasendriyairvā buddhyātmanāvā prakṛtiha svabhāvah karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai nārāyā yedi samarpayetat. As Shri Krishna affirms in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam while discussing with Uddhava, that the devotional service is performed on three platforms, that is, on the platform of the faculty of mind, manasik, performed by the faculty of speech, vocal faculty, vachik, and performed by the faculty. Devotional service is also expressed or performed through the faculty of body, physical faculty, that is known as kayik or sharirik. So, kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmanava prakritih svabhavah karomi yad yad sakalam parasmai narayana iti samarpayetat. But in that verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna also talks about devotional practice being done on the platform of spirit, soul, or the self. Kayik vachik mansik, that is all right. But kayik vachik mansik, they are all parts of subtle and gross bodies. But what about you yourself? Your mind is performing devotional service, that is mansik. Your body is performing devotional service, that is sharirik. Your speech is performing devotional service, that is vachik. But what about you, who are different from all the three? What about your inner self? Are you performing devotional service through your inner self also? That is the fourth dimension. Sharir, man, buddh. Sharir, man, vani, and then atma. What about the atma? So, the fourth dimension, although it has not been discussed, that is, the performance of austerities on the level of spirit soul, although that has not been discussed in this particular section of Bhagavad Gita, 17th chapter, although Shri Krishna hints or implies indirectly about that also, but he doesn't make it very clear in this particular chapter of Bhagavad Gita, but he does that, he makes that clear in that shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam of the 11th canto, spoken to Uddhav, Kāyena vācā manasendriyairvā, that the tapasya or austerity can also be performed on the platform of the spirit soul, that is known as atmik tapasya. So right now we are only talking about the three types of penances. So the physical penance, what are the examples of physical penance? So as Shri Krishna explains, and as His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada also explains in his purport, following the footsteps of the other previous acharyas of this Shri Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, known as Shri Baladeva Vidyabhushan, Shri Vishwanath Chakravarti Pad, and Shri Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Because these are the previous acharyas who have also written commentaries on Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Shri Baladeva, the first commentator on Bhagavad Gita in our transcendental preceptoral lineage descending from the lotus feet of Shri Gaurasundara Mahaprabhu. In this lineage, Shri Prahma Matva Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the first commentator to write Sanskrit commentary on Srimad Bhagavad Gita is Shri Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, who has written commentary known as Sararth Varshini Tika, or that commentary which showers forth the essential meanings of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. That's the literal definition, Sararth Varshini Tika. And after that, some years after that commentary being written by him, his dear disciple and student, Shri Baladeva Vidyabhushan Pad, he has written in-depth commentary, in-depth philosophical commentary full of arguments and counter-arguments, trying to establish the doctrine of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on sound and firm scriptural basis. So that commentary written by him, compiled by him, is rather known as Gita Bhushana Bhashya, or that commentary which adorns and decorates Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Gita Bhushana Bhashya. And then these are the two commentaries in Sanskrit. After that, the third commentator is Sri Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the seventh Goswami. So Satchidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written two explanations or commentaries in Bengali language, first known as Rasikaranjana Bhashya, in order to appease those who are expert in relishing the transcendental mellows of devotional service, Rasikaranjana Bhashya. And the second commentary he wrote in Bengali is for the philosophical speculators and empiric pedants fully surcharged and permeated with the mood of erudition and intellect. For those scholars, he has written Vidvataranjana Bhashya, that commentary which enlightens and entertains the scholars or Vidwanas, not the Rasikas. So, Vidvataranjana Bhashya, Rasikaranjana Bhashya, and then the last commentator in our Sampradaya is His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, the third commentator, who is writing the fifth commentary. The fourth commentator who is writing the fifth commentary, the last commentary on Srimad Bhagavad Gita, known as the Bhaktivedanta Purports. So Srila Prabhupada, as he has described, and we will also describe what the other previous acharyas have described in their explanations. So in this purport, and also in the original verse, Shri Krishna says that pujanam means worship. Worship is of many different types. Here Krishna is denoting ijya. Ijya means physical worship. He is not talking about mental worship, mansikopasana. He is not talking about mental meditation, manasik dhyana or manasik puja. Also, manasik puja is also considered a type of worship, but because here tapa is considered to be sharir, physical penance has been contemplated upon, and not the mental penance. That's why physical penance comprises of physical worship of Deva. Deva means the Supreme Personality of God in Shri Krishna, or it can also mean other demigods, devatas. So, but the ultimate sense of the word devata, the most highest form of the highest and the most exalted among all the devatas, is none other than Lord Vasudev or Lord Narayan or Lord Shri Krishna. Therefore, in the Gita Mahatmya, glorification of Srimad Bhagavad Gita, we find this verse, Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gitam Eko Devo Devaki Putra Evo Eko Mantrastasya Namani Yami Karma Pyekam Tasya Devasya Seva, that let there be only one scripture, Bhagavad Gita, sung by that Devaki Putra, that son of Devaki, let him be the only worshipable deity, Aradhya Dev, Ishta Dev. So, the ultimate form of absolute truth is none other than Sri Narayan. He is the absolute truth, and all the other demigods, beginning from Indra, Brahma, Shiva, Varun, Yam, etc., they are subordinate controllers governing the various affairs of this material world, and who have been empowered by that Supreme Lord Narayan. So, Supreme Lord Narayan is the ultimate. Is the ultimate and the most highest among all the demigods, being the absolute truth. Therefore, we find a similar verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 12th canto, last chapter, 13th chapter, that's the last chapter of Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva and Shukdev Goswami, they glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Hari, by saying, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutah Stunvanti Divyaiha Istavair Vedaiha Sangha Padakra Upanishadair Gayanti Yam Samagaha Dhyana Vasthita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yogino Yasyantam Naviduh Surasura Gana Devaya Tasmai Namaha. There also the word Deva has been used in the last line of the verse. So, Deva can mean other demigods also, but the most significant definition of the term Deva only culminates in Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Narayana. Therefore, Bhagavatam verse says that Yasyantam Namiduhu Surasura Gana Devaya Tasmai Namaha. We bow down, we prostrate our obeisances very submissively unto that highest form of God, Dev, who is none other than Vasudev. Satyam Parandhimahi, the very first verse of the Bhagavatam also affirms the same.
And then from time to time in Bhagavatam it has been made very clarified, Guham Param Brahma Manushyalingam, that most confidential aspect of Supreme Absolute Truth appears in a human-like form of Shri Krishna in Vrindavan. Therefore, Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam, Nanda Gopa Prajaukasam, Yan Mitram Paramanandam, Purna Brahma Sanatanam, that most topmost form of Parabrahma, that topmost form of Absolute Truth is not the impersonal Brahma, Nirvishesh Nirakar, is not the localized portion Paramatma Super Soul, Shri Rakshai Vishnu, no. It's not even the other features of Bhagavan aspect like Narayan, Ram, Kurma, Matsya, Varaha, Narsingh, etc. But it is the Swayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna of Vrindavan who is the topmost aspect. Therefore, it has been declared, Ete Chanshkaraha Pumsaha Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, that is the highest form of God, and that highest form of God eternally displays his sportive pastimes and divine deeds and enchanting exploits in the transcendental realm of Goloka Vrindavan. So, it has been declared that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Shri Vasudev, Purna Brahma, he is the full-fledged form of Absolute Truth, not partial form of Absolute Truth like the impersonal aspect or the localized portion Paramatma, or not even like the other Bhagavan features of Narayana, etc. But he is the Samam Bonam, reservoir of all incarnations and expansions. Swayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna is the full-fledged aspect, Purna Brahma Sanatana, that is the eternal full-fledged form of Absolute Truth, and that form of Absolute Truth has now become the friend of Nand and Yashoda and is subservient to them in the reciprocation of the transcendental mellow of fraternity. Aho Bhagyam, Aho Bhagyam. Alas, what is the indescribable fortune received by Nand and Yashoda that they have received that Supreme Absolute Truth as their very friend and as their very child issue and progeny, being subservient, being subordinate to them. So, Bhagavatam time to time explains very clearly that it is only Shri Krishna who is the Paratattva. Now, in that verse, Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha, which has just been quoted, Yasyantam Navidhu Surasura Gana Devaya Tasmai Namaha. We bow down unto that Dev. Who is that Dev? Vasudev. We bow down unto that Dev. We pay our respects unto that transcendental absolute truth or personality of Godhead Vasudev, whose beginning, end and middle are not known even by the greatest of all the other devatas, demigods, Sur, the sons of Aditi, Adityas, the devatas, beginning with Indra, Yam, Varun, Chandra, etc. We don't know the beginning, middle and end. The profound extension of the glories of Shri Krishna are not known even by these demigods. They are also not quite well acquainted with his feature. And then also it is said that the greatest of all the demons, the very powerful demons, they are also not able to figure out the extension of Sri Narayana's glories. Yasyantam naviduhu surasura gana divaya tasmai namaha, whose end, whose limit is not known by any demigod, by any demon, then what to speak of the human beings who are weak, feeble and less powerful than the demigods and the demons. So, no other living entity can know the actual glories of Shri Krishna because his glories are unlimited. So, then it is said that even the devatas, Yam Brahma, Varunendra, Rudra, Marutaha, Brahma, Varun, Rudra, 49 Marutganas, Shiva, Brahma, Indra and all the demigods, they are praising that Supreme Lord Vasudev, and then the Ashtang Yogis through the process of mystic yoga, they are also trying to get a glimpse of that Supreme Lord Vasudev within their hearts. Yes, yeah. And then Dhyana Avasthita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyantiyam Yogino, and then Vedaihi Sangamata Kramopanishadai Gayantiyam Samagaha, the scholars, the Brahmin Panditas, who are well versed in all the nooks and corners of the Vedic literatures and their corollaries, they are also trying to praise that Supreme Lord Vasudev, but none of them are able to actually understand and comprehend that Supreme Absolute Truth in full. That Supreme Absolute Truth, Vasudev, is considered Deva here. Deva Dvija Guru Prakya Pujanam. But it can also mean other demigods. So therefore, now how to explain that? So it has been explained in Padma Puran by the very mouth of Lord Shiva, Mahadev. Mahadev, when he speaks to Parvati in Padma Puran, he says that Harireva Sadaratyah Sarvadeveshvareshvarah Itare Brahma Rudradya Navagyeyaha Kadachana Harireva Sadaratyah. Without any doubt, without any scope and jurisdiction of suspicion being prevalent in it. That means without any scope of suspicion or doubt, in simpler terms. It can be said, it can be ascertained, it can be ascertained, it can be declared in a very bold way without any hesitation that certainly Sri Hari is the only topmost worshipable deity at all times, in all circumstances. Harireya Sala Aratya. He is the most worshipable. He is the highest worshipable form of absolute truth at all times, in all circumstances, in all places. Harireva Sadaratya. He is the only. Eva means he is certainly, and Eva also means he is only. Because the word Eva has two meanings, only and certainly. So only Sri Hari is the highest worshipable deity, and certainly he is the highest. Two meanings are implied here. Harireva Sadaratya Sarvadeveshwareshwara. Why? Because he is not among the ordinary living beings found, confined within the shackles of illusion in this material world. He is not one of the 8,400,000 species of living beings found rotating, found evolving in the cycle of birth and death in this material world, bound by the laws of karma. He is not even one of the devatas or demigods like Indra, Varuna, Yam, etc., Surya, Chandra, Ganesh, etc., who are the controllers of other living beings in this material world. He is not even the controller of those demigods, beginning with Lord Indra. He is not even Lord Narayana, who is the controller of Brahma and Shiva. And Brahma and Shiva are in turn controllers of Indra and other demigods. But he is even the controller of Narayana. That is why Ishwar, Deveshwar, Sarvadeveshwar, Sarvadeveshwareshwaraha. That is the meaning here. Sarvadev Ishwar Ishwaraha. He is even the controller of Narayana, because Narayana is just partial expansion of Shri Krishna. So that Shri Krishna of Goloka Vrindavan is certainly worshipable at all times. That is why Shukadeva Goswami also affirms in the second canto of Bhagavatam, while imparting his instructions to Parikshit Maharaj, he says, Tasmat sarvatmana rajam harihi sarvatra sarvada shrotavyah kirtitam yascha smartavyah chichanavayam. Therefore, through all endeavors of body, mind, speech and the inner self. Atma means, Atma has many meanings. The word Atma has nine different meanings. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taken out nine different meanings of the word Atma while explaining 61 different meanings of the Bhagavatam Shlok Atma Ramascha Malayo Nirvanthapirukrame in front of Sarvabhum Bhattacharya and also in front of Sanatana Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela. So the word Atma Ram, based on Sanskrit dictionaries, has many meanings. First meaning of the word Atma is Sharir, body. Another meaning of the word Atma is mind. And another meaning, the actual meaning of the word Atma is inner self or spirit soul Jivatma. So all three can be considered Atma. So when it is said here, the shloka that we were just quoting, Sarvatmana Rajan, Tasmat Sarvatmana Rajan, through all features of self, through all features of self, one should try to please and satisfy Sri Hari through the process of devotional service. Sarvatmana means through all the features of self, that means through body, through mind, and through the actual spirit soul. Therefore, in all the four dimensions, body, mind, speech, and the Jivatma, the spirit soul, through all the four dimensions, one should try to glorify the name from pastimes of that absolute. One should try to hear those names from pastimes. One should try to always remember, etc. Shrotavya kirtitam yascha smartavya chichitavayam. So that is the only duty. Therefore, Shiva also says in Padma Puran, Aradhanam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param. Among all the different aradhanas or worships, the aradhana, worship of Lord Vishnu or Krishna, is the highest. Therefore, among the worship of all the different forefathers, Pitris, headed by Aryama, and the worship of all the other demigods, Devatas, headed by Indra, and the worship of Lord Narayan is the best. So the word Deva implies certainly Lord Narayan or any one of Lord Narayana's other forms like Narayan, Krishna, etc. But when the word Deva also implies to other demigods, then how to interpret that? So Shiva explains, Harireva Sadaratya Sarva Deveshwareshwara Itare Brahma Rudra Adya Namangye Akarachana. O Parvati, certainly Sri Hari is the only worshipable deity in the highest sense. But that doesn't mean that others who are different from Hari, Itar means others who are different from Sri Hari, who are not as equal or in the same position as Hari, but who are inferior to Sri Hari, Itar. Those who are different from Sri Hari, that means he gives the example Brahma Rudra Adya, especially Brahma and Rudra, Shiva, I, myself. Those who are others the other devatas, the other demigods, especially like me, Rudra and Brahma. That doesn't mean that we have to be disrespected. We have to be disrespected by the common people. It is the duty of other living beings of this material world to also respect us. Therefore, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion, Rupa Goswami Pad very clearly says that one should also respect the demigods, although not worship them as the chief worshipable deity like we worship Shri Narayan, because we also have to consider the aspect of Ananya Upasana, exclusive devotion, one-pointed devotion towards Krishna. But that doesn't mean that if the temple of Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma or any other demigod falls, when we are, suppose for an example, when we are walking on the street, when we are roaming on the path, and suppose some temple or some photo or some deity of some other demigods is seen by us, that doesn't mean that we have to disrespect them or we just have to ignore them by being indifferent. Rather, it is our duty to respect them. That's why, therefore, Lord Shiva also commands in Padma Puran that certainly Sri Hari is the only worshipable, but that doesn't mean other demigods have to be disrespected. So here, Dev Pujanam means we have to respect other demigods, but we have to one-pointedly and exclusively worship Shri Krishna. We only have to establish permanent relationship with Shri Krishna, the loving relationship, not the loving relationship with anyone else. Another good example, a wife has her total love of a wife is devoted, who is a chaste, loyal wife, the total love of her wife, of that wife, is devoted only to her husband. But that doesn't mean that if other family members of the husband are present, she just ignores them or becomes indifferent to them. So in the same way, all these demigods are adhikrita dasas, servants of Supreme Godhead Shri Narayan. Therefore, they have to be respected by the common living beings. So that is the purport of the Deva Pujanam here. We have to worship Supreme Godhead Shri Vasudev, and we have to respect other secondary forms of demigods. Deva Pujanam, physically. Not mentally. Here mental pujan is not being employed. Physical worship. What does physical worship mean? Physical worship is sometimes done panchopchar through 5 paraphernalia. That's the shortest way. Sometimes through 12 upcharas, 12 paraphernalias, dvadashopchar. Sometimes through 16 paraphernalias, shodashopchar. And the most elaborate way to perform physical worship to Supreme Lord Krishna, Krishna and his deity form is through 50 paraphernalias known as Panchashat Upchar. So there are many different ways of physical worship as mentioned in the Smriti Shastra. So that is the Deva Pujanam. Then comes Dvija Pujanam. Dvija Pujanam means physical worship of the Brahmins who are twice born. Dvija, Ja means Janma. Those who are born. Jayate, Jayante. Those who are born, Dvi, twice. Those who are born twice. What does that mean? The word dvija also means the birds, because birds are also born twice. The first birth of any bird is when the egg comes out from the feminine reproductive organ of the female bird. And the second birth of the bird is when the eggshell breaks and the actual bird comes out. So that's why birds are also known as dvijas. If you look carefully in Srimad Bhagavatam, many times the word dvija has been used for indicating birds of different sorts. But here, the word dvija doesn't mean the birds, it clearly means the Brahmins. Why? Because certainly all the living beings are to be respected. As Krishna gives his order in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, all the living beings have to be respected, and therefore a humble devotee of the Lord doesn't disrespect any living being. What to speak of devatas, he doesn't even disrespect other human beings or other lower species of life like donkey, ass or animals. But here the word dvija comes in its traditional sense, and the traditional meaning of the word dvija is the brahmanas. So therefore it is also duty for Vaishnavas to respect the qualified Brahmins if they are qualified, if they have the proper attributes and qualities and characteristics of it being a Brahmana, and if they are expressing proper activities of being a Brahmana. Because as Narada Muni affirms in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, yasya yallakshanam proktam pumso varnavivyanjakam, that Brahmana is only known as Brahmana if he displays the qualities and activities of being a Brahmana. Otherwise, if he is born in a Brahmana family, hereditary seminal line of a Brahmana. But his activities and attributes and demeanor are contradictory to the qualifications of a Brahmana, and if his activities are matching some other varna, some other class, the lower class of Kshatriya, Vaishya or Shudra, then he is to be considered Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra and not Brahmana. Very clear dictum by Narad Muni in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasya lakshanam proktam punso varna vibhajakam. And also Shri Krishna himself, the father of the Varnashram system, who has made the divisions of Varnashram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom has sprung forth the four classes of Varna and the four stages of life Ashrama. He himself declares, the creator of Varnashrama declares, in 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagashah tasya kartaram apimam vidhya kartaram avyayam. That these four classes of varna and ashrama, they are divided according to guna and karma, according to qualities and actions, not according to janma or birth. That janma has not been used there. So, also birth has its importance only when the birth matches or corresponds to the quality and action. But otherwise, birth doesn't have any separate value apart from that. So, Dvija means those Brahmins who are actually qualified to be considered Brahmins, and not the Dvija Bandhus, not the Brahma Bandhus, who are born in the family of Brahmins but who do not have the qualifications of being Brahmin. They are known as Dvija Bandhu or Brahma Bandhu. The best example is Ashwatthama in the 7th chapter, 1st canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, we are talking about Dvijas and not Dvija Bandhus here. And that therefore the Brahmins are even to be respected by the Vaishnavas. Therefore, it is said by Raghunath Das Goswami also in his Manashiksha, in his instructions to the mind, Raghunath Das Goswami also says that Bhusuragane, in the very first verse, he says that Guru Mantre Swanamni Bhusuragane. Bhusuragane means the demigods, the devatas of earth. The demigods of heaven are Indra, Brahma and Shiva. The demigods of earth planet are the Brahmins. So Bhusur or Bhudev. Therefore Brahmins are also known as Bhudev or the demigods of earth planet. And therefore it is said that the Lord also takes his eatables, his victuals through the mouth of Brahmins. That is why feeding the Brahmins is also important according to the Smarga law. And therefore it is also said that Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Chajagat Ditaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Krishna descends only to protect the cows and the Brahmins, and especially also to protect his pure devotees Vaishnavas, but Brahmins and cows he also comes to protect. So Brahmins are to be respected even by the Vaishnavas. That doesn't mean that the position of Brahmins is better than Vaishnavas, but it's just a matter of etiquette. So Deva Dvija Guru Pragya Pujanam, and that the Guru or spiritual master has to be worshipped, who imparts the knowledge of Vedas and the other Vedic scriptures. That Guru, spiritual master, whether he be Diksha Guru, initiating spiritual master, also known as Mantra Guru, because he gives the mantras, or whether he be Shiksha Guru, the preceptoral spiritual master, the instructing spiritual master, or whether he be Varma Pradakshak Guru, the first person, the first personality who initially made us introduced to the path of Krishna Bhakti. That is known as Varta Pradarshak Guru, who showed us the path, the very first person who met us. That is Varta Pradarshak Guru. And the fourth is known as Bhajan Guru, also known as Shravan Guru, that particular spiritual master who guides us practically in regards to the advancement on the path of devotional service. Shiksha Guru gives general knowledge of Shastra, but Bhajan Guru gives specific instructions how to advance in day-to-day devotional service and achieve Prema Bhakti, the final goal. So that's therefore Jiva Goswami has analyzed four types of gurus in his Bhakti Sandarbha. So all the four types of gurus have to be shown proper respect physically. Therefore Krishna says in 4th chapter, Tadvitti pranipatena pariprashtena sevaya upadekshantite yanam yaninastattva darshinaha. O Arjun, go to those learned who have practically realized, not only theoretically understood, but who have also practically realized the science of absolute truth. Go to them, and what you should do? You should perform three types of activities. First, go in their vicinity, in their proximity, go near to them, and then offer your prostrated obeisances. Tadvithi pranipatena pariprashtena sevaya. Just like a lord, offer your obeisances by submitting all the 8 limbs. Ashtanga. Sashtang pranam. Tadvitti pranipati and pariprashtena sevaya. And also put forth an in-depth profound inquiry, penetrating into the subject matter of Vedanta in front of them. Tadvidhi pranipadena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnani astatvadarshinah, and also serve them. That means whatever they need, and try to serve them and try to fulfill their needs and whatever they demand. So, in these three ways, the gurus are to be respected. And as Krishna says, Acharyam mam vijaniyam navamanyeta karhichit namartya buddhya suyeta sarvadeva mayo guruhu, that the spiritual master is to be considered the embodiment of all the 330 million demigods, and also the embodiment of the, and also empowered by the special potency of Shri Krishna, and he is never to be considered a mortal human being. If that happens, then if martya buddhi, mortal, if that guru, this guru is just a mortal human being like any other, then offense occurs, dhamma aparad, the third offense occurs, guru ravadya shruti shastra nindaram, the third offense, neglecting the guru, that offense occurs, and then the spiritual life of the practitioner of devotional path is completely doomed forever. So devat bhija guru pragya pujanam, and pragya pujanam means that other worshipable personalities, including mother, father, etc., therefore the Vedas say pitri devo bhava, matri devo bhava, etc. The fathers, the father is to be respected, the mother is to be respected. Now the thing is, sometimes when father, mother, etc. are causing obstructions and impediments to the progressive path of devotional service, then even at that time they are to be respected, but their orders are not to be implemented. Therefore, Bhagavatam 5th canto very clearly says that Guru Nasasya Janani Nasasya, that Guru is not Guru, that Mother is not Mother, that Father is not Father, that Devata is not Devata, if he doesn't take us back to the lotus feet of Krishna and if he creates obstructions on that progressive path of devotion. But that doesn't mean Prahlad rejected Hiranyakashipu, Bharat rejected his mother Kaikeyi, and there are all the examples in the Shastras, the special Siddhanta of Bhagavad Dharma, special rule of devotional path, that anyone causes obstruction, no matter how much dear to you he is, just consider him to be like not one enemy, but like 1 crore enemies combined. No matter how much affection he is showing, he or she is showing to you, materially speaking, without duplicity even, you can say in material relationship, even without duplicity, that person may be showing affection to you. But if that person is causing obstruction on the path of progressive devotion, then he is to be considered not equivalent to 1 foe, 1 enemy, but equivalent to 1 crore enemies combined together aggregatively, and is to be rejected in such a way. But that doesn't mean that one should still disrespect them. The respect portion continues. We don't have to just follow their orders and implement the issues decreed by those non-devotional people, but we still have to respect them. We have to maintain the outward etiquette. Deva dvija guru pragya pujanam shaucha marjavam, and cleanliness. Shaucha, cleanliness is of two types. Antarik shuchi and bahiranga shuchi. The inward cleanliness and the outward cleanliness. Inward cleanliness means the proper cleansing of the body and making the body completely cleaned of all the abominable items which come out from the body. That is known as outward cleanliness. And the inward cleanliness means to make the mind devoid of sinful thoughts. That is inward cleanliness. Both types of shuchi are to be considered. Shaucham arjavam. And arjava means simplicity through physical expressions. That means not making such gestures and not making such grotesque figures and not making such movements of body which rather are taken or perceived by the common populace as the show of pomp and foppery. That is not simplicity. Dumb, that is called dumb, pomp and foppery. Not making such physical expressions as to show the pomp and peppery, but being very simple in one's behavior, that is called physical simplicity, arjavam, brahmacharyam, and celibacy. Celibacy is of three types, as Yajnavalkya mentions, and that verse has also been quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita while writing purport on that. Prabhupada also quotes from Yajnavalkya Smriti. Yajnavalkya Rishi mentions three types of celibacy: mental celibacy, verbal celibacy, and physical celibacy. But here, especially the physical celibacy, and physical virginity also has been stressed upon by Shri Krishna, because we are talking about the physical penance here. Brahmacharyam ahimsacha, and ahimsa, hinsa is also of three types: mental, killing, verbal killing and physical killing. Because hinsa or killing is of three types, therefore ahimsa is also of three types. Mental non-violence, verbal non-violence and physical non-violence. But especially here, the physical non-violence is stressed because we are talking about physical penance and austerity. So, I think that is the gist of the purport to the 14th verse. We are not able to complete the explanation on the 15th and 16th because we do not have that much time. 6:20, the aarti will start. So now 10 minutes we have. We can take forth any inquiries or comments relevant to the topic just now. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, you mentioned about spiritual master, how it's abominable to think of spiritual master as mortal man.
Hmm.
Apart from Srila Prabhupada, in our movement, we're all together in this ISKCON, and a lot of the bona fide spiritual masters in ISKCON have had a past where they've acted as mortals before they met Prabhupada, i.e. the breaking the regulations. And,
yes.
And so how are we to understand that they are not an ordinary mortal man, yet their activities previously were of a mortal man?
We can understand in the following way. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, actually let us first understand the meaning of Diksha or initiation. Very good inquiry. The word Diksha or initiation is literally defined by various different authorized Shastras. And Jiva Goswami has also quoted, in order to explain the meaning of the word Diksha, in his Sandarbhas, he has also quoted. And also Sanatan Goswami in his Hari Bhakti Vyas, he also quotes from various different Shastras the meaning of Diksha. So the most famous verse describing the meaning of Diksha is Divya Jnanam Dado Yasmad Kuryat Papasya Sankshayam. So that process in which transcendental knowledge regarding the Absolute Truth is imparted to the disciple, Divya Jnanam Dado Yasmad. And that process, which simultaneously also destroys and vanquishes the accumulation of sins and vices. So when Diksha is undertaken by the aspiring candidate, at that time, through the process of Diksha, immediately all his previously performed vices, vicious activities and sinful misdeeds are wiped out, their reactions are wiped out, and also he gets the transcendental knowledge, Divya Jnana, from the Guru. That is the meaning of Diksha. So now, they might be previously performing sinful activities and all other mundane activities of sense gratification, but those are all wiped out as soon as they come to the path of devotional service and take initiation from a bona fide Guru. The whole past is made blank, so to speak. Now, here in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes some unprecedented revelation, which rather will seem astonishing to many of the people. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, while giving instructions to Sanatana Goswami in the 22nd chapter of Madhya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says, Sharanalaya kare Krishna Atma, Sharanalaya kare Krishne Atma Samarpana, Krishne tare kare tat kale Atma Sama. In 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mama sadharmi magata. After Rajvidya, Rajgohyam, Pavitramidam Uttamam, king of all knowledge and confidential of all, most secret of all knowledge. After that verse, 9th chapter, after that verse, Krishna says that one who thus assimilates this confidential knowledge of devotional service and practically annexes and implements this science of devotional service in his life, then as a result of that, as a resultant of that devotional endeavor, he, becoming transcendental to the three modes of material nature, Mamchayo, Vyavicharena, Bhakti Yogena, Sarvisevati, Sagunan, Samatitya, Itan, 14th chapter, becoming transcendental to the three modes of material nature, that devotee acquires almost similar nature like mine. Mama Sadharmya Magadaha, Sadharmya. Sadharmya means he acquires almost similar nature like me. Not exactly the same, but almost similar. That means he acquires the transcendental nature, but still he is bereft of some special powers that Krishna has, like the power of creating material world, sustaining material world, and annihilating material world. These powers are not given to living entity at any time. Those are only reserved for the Godhead. But he becomes transcendental, like Shri Krishna, he becomes transcendental and goes beyond the three modes of material nature. So he becomes almost similar to the Lord's position, Mama Sadhanya Magataha. The same thing has been stressed in a very clear way, rather, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here. Sharana Laiya Kare, Krishna Atma Samarpan. When, through the process of surrender, sixfold surrender, Sharvida Sharanagati, that verse quoted from Brahma Yamal Tantra in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami and also by Sanatana Goswami in Hari Bhakti Vilas, famous verse describing six types of surrender, Anukulyasya Sankalpaha Pratikulyasya Varjanam, etc. So that sixfold surrender, once that sixfold surrender has been undertaken by the aspiring person, and after that sixfold surrender, he submits unto the lotus feet of a bona fide guru, Adau Guru Padashrayaha. The first limb of devotional service, as Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is to submit and surrender to a bona fide guru. Adau Guru Padashraya, that is the beginning of sadhan bhakti. So, after the sixfold surrender process is completed and the prerequisite criterion has been fulfilled by the aspiring candidate, then he takes literal surrender unto the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. And at that time what happens? By the mercy of Guru and Krishna, and actually Krishna himself, what he does at the time of initiation, when disciple surrenders to Guru and Krishna, what Krishna does, he makes that disciple immediately, instantly, not after much time or after much practice of sadhana bhakti, but immediately at the time of diksha, he makes that devotee completely as equal to him. Krishna tare kore tatkale atmasam. Tatkale, instant, atmasam. He makes him equal to him. That means the whole body, gross and subtle, of the living entity, they become spiritualized. Just like when fire permeates the iron rod. So the iron rod becomes almost non-differently perceived from fire, at least according to the apparent vision of five senses. At least according to the apparent experience and perception of the five senses, fire which has become united with iron rod, an iron rod which has become permeated by fire, that iron rod acts in the same capacity as the original fire does. So in the same way, the gross and subtle bodies of the mundane living entity who has now taken to the devotional endeavor, his mundane gross and subtle bodies are rather made just like the iron rod which is permeated with fire. In the same way, his gross and subtle bodies become permeated with the internal potency of Krishna, Antaranga Shakti. And therefore, they become transcendental. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the next verse, Prabhu kahe Vaishnava deha prakrita kabhu nai. Prakrita, aprakrita deha bhaktera chidanandamaya. Prabhu kahe Vaishnava deha prakrita kabhu nai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sanatan that the body of a Vaishnava who has taken initiation into a bona fide sampradaya through a bona fide guru, his body, whether be subtle or gross, is not prakrit, doesn't remain any more material, but rather turns spiritualized. A prakrit deva bhaktir chidanandamaya. Devotee's body then becomes full of sat chit and anand, eternal cognition, bliss, and perpetual existence, and becomes a prakrit, becomes transcendental to the three modes of material nature, although it is not perceived by the devotee himself and by the others, but still it happens. Still it happens invisibly. Diksha kale bhakta kare atma samarpan. Sei kale Krishna tare kare atmasam. At the time of diksha, initiation, when devotee fully surrenders through sixfold limbs of surrender to Guru and Krishna, at that time Krishna immediately makes him equivalent to his own self. Sei deha kare tara chidananda mahay. Aprakrita dehe tara charana bhajay. And when the gross and subtle bodies of living entity, which are acting as via media for devotional service, without assistance of gross and subtle bodies, living entity himself cannot perform devotional service. That's why Sharir Madhyamam Kharu Dharma Sadharam. Body is via medium for performing devotional service, at least in the conditioned embodied state of living being. So the subtle and gross bodies which act as via medium for devotional service, they are made spiritualized. All the five knowledge acquiring senses, Panchagyanindriyas, all the five action performing senses, Panchakarmindriyas, and mind, intelligence and false ego. That means all the aspects of subtle and gross bodies, they are made spiritualized completely satchidanand. Say deha kare tarachidanandamay aprakrita dehe taracharana bhajay. And when the senses become spiritualized and transcendental by the unification of internal potency, then through those senses, those spiritual senses, spiritualized senses, then the devotee performs ninefold limbs of devotional service known as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnoho, etc. Therefore, you will see, Padma Puran Vyasadeva says, Atah Shri Krishna Namadi na bhavet grahyavindriyai hai, sevon mukhehi jivalau svayamevas pratyadaha. The transcendental names of Krishna cannot be recited or uttered by the mundane tongue. When the tongue becomes spiritualized at the time of initiation, only after that the transcendental name of Krishna is recited. Now question arises, even gross karmis who have no clue of devotional surrender, even they recite Krishna Nam. Even sinful people who have no clue of devotional, who have no liking or inclination towards devotional service, they also recite Krishna Nam. How is that possible? They are not reciting the actual Krishna Nam. Because Krishna Nam is not forcibly produced by our whim. Krishna, the real Krishna Nam, that is only semblance of Krishna Nam that they are reciting. That's not the real Krishna Nam. The real factual Shuddha Nam, the factual Krishna Nam, appears on his own accord. Why? Because Krishna Nam is full of consciousness, is full of desire, thinking, willing and feeling. So he cannot be forced to appear. He appears on his own accord. He is not different from Krishna. He is not different from Nami, Shri Krishna. Nami and Nami are completely non-different. So the actual Krishna Nam is the treasury of Guru Vrindavan. Guru Kera Premandan Hari Nam Sankirtan Ratam Das Thakur says. And so the actual Krishna Nam can only appear on the tongue when the tongue has become spiritualized by the devotional surrender. Before that, the Krishna Nam that is being uttered by Karmis and Duracharis, that is, and by the jnanis and yogis and others who are not bhaktas, that is not real Krishna Nam. So that is how it happens. Real Krishna Nam cannot be taken by mundane sense, by any mundane sense. It can only be taken by spiritualized transcendental sense. That is why Atah Shri Krishna Namadi Namavid Grahim Indriyai Hai Sevon Mukhehi Jivadav Swayamevas Pratyadaha. When devotee wants to serve Krishna Nam, then his tongue becomes spiritualized and then the Krishna Nam appears on his own accord, on his own sweet will, based on his own sweet will and disposal, he appears on the tongue of the devotee and starts dancing on the tongue. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the main point is, the spiritual master, is his body is completely transcendental, so he is not mortal anymore, like any other living entity. That is the main point. Hare Krishna. And any more inquiries we can take privately in seclusion because of the formal time limit.
Do we have 5 minutes or I don't know because I have been told 6:20 is the completion. Two CRT?
Two CRT now.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so okay. Hare Krishna. Very well.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhu ki
jai.
Ahora. Ahora